According to the rubrics of our liturgy, the exhortation shall be said the first Sunday in Lent, Advent, and Trinity Sunday. So this is the exhortation. Dearly beloved in the Lord, ye who mind to come to the holy communion of the body and blood of our Savior Christ must consider how St. Paul exhorteth all persons diligently to try and examine themselves before they presume to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For as the benefit is great, if with a true penitent heart and lively faith we receive that holy sacrament, so is the danger great if we receive the same unworthily. Judge therefore yourselves, brethren, that ye be not judged of the Lord. Repent ye truly for your sins past. Have a lively and steadfast faith in Christ our Savior. Amend your lives and be in perfect charity with all men. So shall ye be meek partakers of these holy mysteries. And above all things, ye must give most humble and hearty thanks to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, for the redemption of the world by the death and passion of our Savior Christ, both God and man, who did humble himself even unto the death upon the cross, for us miserable sinners, who lay in darkness and the shadow of death, that he might make us the children of God, and exalt us to everlasting life. And to the end that we should always remember the exceeding great love of our Master and only Savior Jesus Christ, thus dying for us, and the innumerable benefits by which his precious bloodshedding he hath obtained for us, he hath instituted and ordained holy mysteries as pledges of his love and for a continual remembrance of his death to our great and endless comfort. To him, therefore, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, let us give as we are most bound in continual thanks, submitting ourselves wholly to his holy will and pleasure, and studying to serve him in true holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Now we get to the sermon, which comes from the archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., and he gave this one exactly 20 years ago, 1996. Reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews, it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this, the judgment. That is worth hearing again. It is appointed unto men to die once, but after this, the judgment. That verse sums up what God wants us to face during the season of Advent. Unless Jesus comes back first, we are all going to die. Sometime after we die, God is going to judge us. He is going to render an opinion of how we have lived our lives. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Advent gives us the opportunity to see the news that we are going to die and the news that God is going to judge us as good news, not unpleasant news that we should deny or repress or worse even dismiss. Advent tells us that the main purpose of our lives on this earth is to get ourselves ready for death and to get ourselves ready for judgment. Facing up to death and judgment is like having your alarm clock go off. It is quite literally receiving a wake-up call. St. Paul tells us this morning, "Now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe." It's high time to wake up and pull ourselves together. He goes on, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." How much longer are we going to wander around like sleepwalkers, not really knowing where we are or who we are, not really facing how this is all going to end? In Advent, we think about various comings of Jesus, his coming on the first Christmas, his coming onto the stage of human history through the preaching of John the Baptist, his royal coming into his capital city on Palm Sunday, which we had in today's Gospel. Thinking about those comings helps us get ready for the way we shall see his coming at the end as our judge. One of the prayer book's collects for Christmas makes the connection perfectly as it says, "Grant that as we joyfully receive him for our Redeemer, so we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge." But first we must deal with death. The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us that the greatest power the devil has over us is to make us afraid to die. The devil plagues us with questions about how it's going to hurt and how we're going to be cut off completely and lost and how we don't really know what goes on when we're dead. So we'd best be advised just not to think about it much and go on the assumption that death is not going to happen to us or to anyone we care about. That's a flawed strategy. Jesus died and was buried and preached to the dead and came back to life in a body not primarily to impress us with what God can do. He died and rose to assure us that what happened to him is going to happen to us. He died, but he ended up alive. We are going to wind up alive again, too. The answer to the problem of death is, I am baptized into Jesus' body. What happened to him is going to happen to me. Dealing with judgment should be somewhat easier because life, especially life in the church, is all about judgment. Judgment in the sense that being brought up short, being confronted with the fact that we are not what we pretend to be. We act this out in church every time we come here. We're confronted with what God expects of us. That confronts us with the fact that we fall rather short of perfect performance. Being measured by God's standards is what judgment is. It will be no different on the last day from what it is now. Before today's sermon, I read you the exhortation, which is really just an expansion of the invitation to confession. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you. The exhortation tells us how to receive Jesus at the altar worthily, which is practice for how to face him at the last judgment. Receiving communion worthily does not mean that you are morally worthy. It means receiving him in a worthy way. What is the worthy way? In the language of the exhortation, it requires us first to try and examine ourselves. Take a moral inventory. Measure yourself by God's law. The purpose of the moral inventory is not to congratulate yourself on how good you've been or how much better you've been than you might have been. The purpose is to get you to repent. After an honest moral inventory, the only possible conclusion is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have done wrong, but I am sorry, and I want to do better. God replies, I forgive you. I died for you. Get on with it. Receiving Jesus at the altar worthily requires the same thing as facing him at the last judgment properly does, a penitent heart. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Advent tells us to go ahead and face those facts, because Jesus, God, has given us a way to deal with those facts. In his mercy, he has also given us time to get good at dealing with them before it is too late. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Repent ye, for the God is at hand. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as the most justly due, Almighty.